when they climbed to the peak of Mount Everest. I can promise you I'll never do that. It's the kind of word you would use, or I would have used, had I finally turned in my dissertation. How about when you make that final car payment? Or how about Michelle a few years ago when she finished a half marathon? Tetelestai. It means more than just survival. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. It's in the perfect tense in Greek. And that's significant, because it talks about an action that took place in the past and is finished, whose results carry forward into the future. It's different than just looking back and saying that happened. Perfect tense adds in the additional idea that it happened, is still in effect, will always be in effect. So when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he meant it's finished now. It'll continue to be finished in the future on earth, and will remain finished in the future in heaven forever. Note he didn't say, "I am finished." That would have implied that he was defeated and exhausted. But he rather cried out, "It is finished. I've completed the task I came to do." Tetelestai, it is finished, means paid in full. And paid in full means that once a thing is paid for, you don't ever have to pay for that again. It would even be foolish, wouldn't it? How about that car you paid off? You were so excited about that monthly payment that you got in touch with your bank where you had the loan. You said, "Steve, I'm going to send you two or three more payments." You wouldn't do that, would you? But I bet you would accept them. That's what I thought. Thanks be to God that Jesus left no unfinished business behind. He finished what he came to do. And in finishing his work, he paid in full the price for your sins and mine. So after Jesus shouted to Tetelestai, he slumped down. It seemed like he had died. It was all over. The end had come. And yet, suddenly, with all of the energy he had left, he summoned himself up one more time, took one final breath, and shouted, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he died. Stunned silence. Someone shouted, "Surely this was the Son of God." Shock. Who was that man? Anger. He got what was coming to him. Fear. Pervaded the crowd. here and there, soft sobs, quiet tears. Much later, his side was pierced with a sword. But at that point, he was long dead. This is how the physician Luke tells the story of the last moments of Jesus' life. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. And he died. These words are a quotation of Scripture. With his final words, Jesus quoted Psalm 31:5. But he added a word to the quotation. He said, "Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This wasn't the first time Jesus had prayed those words, but it was the most significant time he would ever pray them. You see, Jewish mothers taught their children to pray that prayer every night before they went to sleep. For many children, it would be the very first verse of Scripture they ever learned. Remind you of anything you ever learned? When you were a child, did you ever pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." You ever hear that? Yeah. That's what this was. It was the prayer of commitment of children for a safe night. And so on the cross, as life is ebbing away, Jesus reverts to that prayer from his childhood. Strength gone, body tortured almost beyond recognition, his mind recalls those words he learned as a child, and he repeats them. The moment has come. Jesus has only seconds to live. All that he came to do has been accomplished. It's now time to die. His death is a model of how we as faithful Christians can model our death. He was not afraid. He was not filled with remorse or missed opportunities. He endured death with grace, knowing that a better day awaits on the other side. That's the way he wants us to enter into heaven. To hold fast to God's promises. To do nothing to hasten the moment. But when it finally comes, to have courage to face it. Because we've prayed the prayer. We've believed in our hearts, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." when the girls were small. I used to have this high back leather chair. And it was out in an extension of our kitchen in the parsonage in which we lived in Tuscumbia, where the television was. There were many nights that after supper, they would come and crawl up into my lap. One of them sat on my right knee and one of them on my other. I'd tell them a story. We'd pray. They'd go to sleep in my arms and wake up the next morning in their own bed. Fancy that. Isn't that kind of like it is? We crawl up into Jesus' arms and we pray, "Now lay me down to sleep." And one day, we're going to wake up not just in His bosom, but in that place He has prepared for us. Max Lucado paints an unforgettable word picture of what Jesus' death was like from the perspective of heaven. If it were a war, it would be over and this would be the aftermath. If it were a symphony, it would be that wonderful moment between the final note and the first applause. If it were a journey, home would be in sight. If it were a storm, the sun would pierce the clouds. But it wasn't. It was a Messiah. And His was a sigh of joy. "Father," the voice is hoarse. It's a voice that called forth the dead, a voice that taught the willing, a voice that screamed at God. That voice once felt abandoned, now says, "Father." The two are one again, and the schism has been bridged. "Father," he smiles weakly, "it's over." Satan's vultures have been scattered. Hell's demons have been jailed. Death has been damned. The sun is out. It's over. An angel sighs. A star wipes away a tear. Take the prince home to be with his king. Take the son home to be with his father. Take the pilgrim home to his reward. Come, 10,000 angels, come. Take this wounded troubadour to the cradle of his father's arms. Once and for all, farewell, manger's infant. Bless you, holy ambassador. Go home, death slayer. Rest well, sweet soldier. The battle is over. Heaven's gates are open wide. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. And on that line stands the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all of the demons and devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The sun shakes with the force of the conflict. The sun refuses to shine. For there God's Son in the balance hangs. And through the darkness he cries, "It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus has won." Yet, in my heart, the battle still rages. Not all prisoners of war have come home. They were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. But then I heard that the King of all ages had won all the battles for me. And the victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise His name, I am free. It's a song of Bill Gaither's. And if you know the chorus, sing it with me. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus has won. Amen. On the night before he was crucified, the Lord Jesus took bread and he broke it.